Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly up, is it that we do?
We give the people,
so much to discuss today. We have an update on the status of Odell Beckham Jr. It is not good news. There's also really bad news for the Cowboys. But we start with the NFL action ended last night. Now, this is ESPN that you were watching, but when it's Jalen and Jacoby, sometimes it turns into the Cardinals News Network. That's right. We picked the Cardinals weeks ago and decided this was going to be our team. And it paid off last night in a crazy back and forth overtime win for those Cardinals with Kyler Murray out, Russell Wilson. Jalen, what did you see from the young quarterback for the Cardinals?
I saw the Cardinals actually coronate a franchise quarterback in Kyler Murray. And his leadership and the command that he has on his teammates and the respect that he's garnering, not only throwing the football, but running the football. When you add an all-pro receiver like DeAndre Hopkins to go into Cliff Kingsbury system, and you have veterans like Larry Fitzgerald, this young man has grown into himself. And so now to see that evolution and play against somebody like Russell Wilson, who basically was the shorter quarterback who paved the way. They both played baseball at some point in their careers. And for them to show up on that stage and be led by Kyler Murray, it's refreshing to see him become a franchise quarterback.
Early in this game, it did feel like the Seahawks would dominate and maybe it would be a ho-hum victory for the Seahawks. They would stay undefeated. But nope, the Seahawks refused to play a normal football game. There were so many weird things that happened in this game, so many mistakes. Like Kingsbury kicking a field goal on second down. On second down, kicking a field goal, however. Russell Wilson made some mistakes, and none bigger than this one, with only a minute left in overtime. Look at this pass. I mean, there's just over a minute left in overtime, and he throws a terrible interception. It wasn't his only interception on the day. He had three, Jalen, three interceptions. I don't know if he's exactly a lock for the MVP after this performance. What do you think about Russell Wilson last night?
And again, going into this game, I told you that the Cardinals do a great job of defending the deep ball, and Russell Wilson was the best at doing it. And also, they make you pay for those mistakes. That's the key. A lot of times, players that end up playing defensive backs are converted wide receivers from Pop Warner or high school because they didn't have hands. And so for the Cardinals, there's one thing to be in position. It's another thing to take it to the house. And those guys were making big-time plays against Russell Wilson, and that's crucial when you're trying to get a win on Sundays.
Budda Baker was on his way to the house until DK Metcalf tracked him down with an unreal play that had the Seahawks won, we would have been celebrating for the rest of the season. However, it was Kyler Murray leading the Cardinals to this victory. There's one thing that happened during this game that people are discussing that I need to get your take on because it is controversial. Our guy, DeAndre Hopkins, caught a touchdown with one-on-one on the left sideline of the field. And right before Kyler Murray let go of the ball, people are saying he smiled. I'm not so sure. Take a look at this. Does Kyler Murray smile when he sees DeAndre Hopkins in one-on-one coverage before he lets go of this bomb?
He 1,000% smiled, dog. Because when you're in the pocket, that's a time of anguish. It's so many things that are happening around you, and most of them you cannot control. And every now and then, he sat back and was like, wait a minute. They traded him to me this offseason? And he's in one-on-one coverage? Look how his eyes got bright. He looked back twice. Look at him. Smile for me now, like Tupac would say. And that's great to see that chemistry between those young two people. Imagine what somebody was watching. You know what? What do you think Deshaun Watson was thinking when he saw that? Oh, man, at least he got his bread.
Well, there is now only one team left in the NFL that is undefeated, and that is in the AFC, where two big teams in the AFC clashed on Sunday, with the Steelers eventually getting the win and establishing themselves as the top team in the AFC, at least record-wise. What do you like about this team right now in the season?
So there's so many players, in particular in baseball, basketball, and football, that get the fortune of getting drafted by or playing for a storied franchise. Mm-hmm. When you usually do that, you're going to have success that's bigger than you. And that's a lot of times what happens with the Steelers. The stability at coaching. Now Mike Tomlin is in the conversation for best coaches in the game. You have a Super Bowl winning quarterback that you drafted. And now you're developing all of these players from within. Running backs that you drafted. Juju that you drafted. Washington. Claypool. All of these people that are a part of the fabric of what you do. And then you look across the landscape of the NFL. You remember they were the Killer Bees, Jacoby? Ben is still there and they're undefeated. Now, Brown and Bell have had to reinvent themselves at multiple spots from being the best receiver and one of the best running backs to now contributing to contending teams. That's how fast the league comes at you. Pittsburgh kept it steady. They're 6-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL.
You mentioned Claypool. You mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster. I believe you meant Johnson when you said Washington. However, they don't just draft on the offensive side of the ball. T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree are the best defensive duo in the league on the line, in my opinion. But it was Watt yesterday who just seemed to be in the backfield blowing everything up. Every other snap, look at him right there swiping after the ball, causing problems for Tannehill. He was a huge part of this victory, and the Steelers really truly do look like a very well-rounded team that is ready to challenge the Ravens and the Chiefs for the top spot in the AFC at the end of the year. However, staying in the division and turning our attention to the Cleveland Browns, we have some breaking news that Odell Beckham Jr. has a torn ACL and will be out for the season. It was this play, kind of a freak accident, that put him out for the season, also put him out for the game. Coincidentally, after he was out for the game, Baker Mayfield went on a tear. He was 22 for 23 with the only incompletion being a spiked ball, and then he threw this ball to Peoples-Jones in the end zone to win the game over the Bengals. But Jalen, we start with Odell Beckham Jr. How does this injury impact him and the Cleveland Browns moving forward?
When Odell's in the huddle with Baker Mayfield, because he's considered one of the best at what he does, and Odell looks at him, it's more of a want. But without Odell, it's a need from everyone else. And that's when you see a guy like Peoples-Jones making his first catch of the season as a game-winning TD. Because now as a quarterback, Jacoby, he gets to assess the football play and decide who I'm going to spray the ball to and not necessarily have to cater to my number one receiver. Now, this shouldn't be the case for a guy that plays that position, but mentally, this does happen for some of those quarterbacks. And Baker clearly fell into that category yesterday.
Absolutely. I think there is something to be said for the fact that when you have a superstar receiver, and I'm calling Odell Beckham Jr. a superstar, he has had that production with the Giants, that you sort of, he's in your mind. Are we getting him the ball enough? Is he getting enough touches? Are we running enough plays for him? Are they doubling him? And when you're sort of free of that sort of burden as a quarterback, you really spread the ball around, which you see him do. He threw to Higgins, and he threw a great touchdown to Njoku. He did a lot of things that sort of freed him up. He didn't have an incomplete pass. Now, if I'm not going to say a team is ever going to be better without Odell Beckham Jr. That will never be said. If you have Odell Beckham Jr., you are better than if you don't have Odell Beckham Jr., but there are some side benefits that come with him being gone. Now, we wish him a speedy recovery, but one thing I do want to do, Cleveland, congratulations, you're 5-2. However, still haven't beaten a good team. This was the Bengals. Not only was this the Bengals, this was the Bengals and a last-second miraculous touchdown that got you to beat the Bengals. So while this is a celebratory Monday and also a bittersweet one because of the OBJ news, let's not act like this is a contender in the AFC until they beat a contender in the AFC. Jalen, so much action on the gridiron. But there was some great baseball, too. Chaos on Saturday night as the Rays tied the series at 2-2. But there was a Sunday night game 5, and Clayton Kershaw took the hill and was good enough. Jalen, what do you think about Kershaw in this one?
Kershaw, when they win the World Series, is going to be able to do so as an all-time great player, but not necessarily having to do it as a dominant ace. Normally, when great teams win the World Series. I think back to Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling when they were in Arizona, when those guys were having to go late in the games and things of that nature. They're just asking Curt, like in both games, to give me five innings. And the first time it was better than the second time. He gave up a couple of runs. The Dodgers are going to always find a way to get a home run and timely hitting. The Rays leave runs on runners in scoring position way too often. So you got to give the Dodgers a lot of credit, give Kershaw a lot of credit. But the fourth inning was crucial. The fourth inning, him finding ways to pitch himself out of trouble when he needed to. And then obviously the runner trying to steal home. That also worked out in the Dodgers' favor. They're able to communicate and pick him off.
I love that. Margot attempted to steal home, and it was a little less than successful. You can see it right here. I mean, Kershaw sniffs it out. He sees it in his peripheral, throws him, catches it at home. Now, it said that this was completely on his own, and I'm putting myself in Cash's position as the manager of the Rays, just thinking, we're sitting there at the top step of the dugout and watching your team. You've got a guy on third, and then all of a sudden he bolts towards home with no sign, no indication that he would do so. It's absolutely baffling. Like, what do you think Margot was thinking when he decided on his own to try to steal home in game five in a close game in the World Series?
So you're going against the Dodgers, a storied franchise. You're the underdog. They're going to hit home runs. You have to play small ball. You're on third base. This is my Jackie Robinson moment. This is my time to do something great. You know he was watching Last Dance. You know he saw MJ cross over and make the game winner. He's standing on third. He like, this is my Jackie Robinson moment. He looks over to the dugout, and the ump isn't telling him to steal. And he's like, you know what? I can make it home. And all of a sudden, when Kershaw, the lefty, turns his back, you cannot see the runner. You can't see the runner. The first baseman did a great job of alerting him. And then all of a sudden, you dead to rights at home. And now you got to do that walk of shame back to the dugout. Mm-hmm.
It was this thing right here. It was this move after he was out. It's this move right here. It's that one that you just saw. That's the one where you can tell he was like, I just messed up. It looked like my 7-year-old son or something when I catch his hand in the cookie jar. He's just like, oh God, I'm in trouble. He should have walked to the Dodgers dugout. He should have sat down in the Dodgers dugout and just been like, you know what? I'm good. We don't have to discuss this. You mentioned the Dodgers hitting home runs. They are the only team in World Series history to have 9 different players hit home runs, and we've only gone through 5 games in this World Series. Boom. Their power plus the pitching yesterday propelled them to be one win away from the World Series championship. Jalen, the Cowboys continue to be terrible in new and crazy ways, and also the Detroit Lions won a football game. We'll talk about that and much more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Peloton. Millions of reasons. One community.
Don't forget to vote on Election Day, November 3rd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport, Jessica, Manhattan, and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, after the Cowboys lost coming into this Sunday, I felt that they would find some solace in the fact that they were playing the Washington football team. Well, guess what? They looked terrible against the Washington football team, too. Now, they were down before this happened, but this was a key point in the game. Andy Dalton gets hit hard, helmet to helmet, by Bostic, and it comes out of the game with a concussion. Jalen, what do you think of the hit and the reaction of his Cowboy teammates?
I'm not in an uproar like so many people that wanted to see the Dallas Cowboys create a 50 hold me back moment. But what I will say based on the reaction is that this team ain't making the playoffs. Because you can look at their division and, yes, a team probably is going to make the playoffs and be under 500. But that concussed quarterback is going to be out a couple of weeks. Ezekiel Elliott still is yet to get going. The defense is still allowing all-time highs as it relates to yards and touchdowns. And I look at one person, Jerry Jones. Because you have to make the decision at the top who you want to take care of. It's a salary cap driven sport. You took care of so many people on the defense. You took care of Zeke, but you forgot the most important position in football is the quarterback. And as a matter of fact, Jacoby, this roster ain't gonna change much. I know you want to get the offensive line healthy, but look, these are their anchor players. And I like Amari Cooper as a performer. But the way his season ended last year with him on the sideline, that didn't seem like a player you would have given $100 million to that same offseason. And that level of dysfunction has allowed Ron Rivera to bring his guy in, Allen, who he's just a little bit familiar with, turn around and hand it to Gibson, and then all of a sudden, you sick Chase Young in your defensive line on the Dallas Cowboys offense, and you're Washington, you're getting victory against a Cowboys team that is already stacked with those dudes over the next couple of years that can't get it done right now.
I'm glad you brought up Gibson, because this Dallas Cowboys defense is so bad. They didn't just give up 128 yards to Gibson. Gibson wasn't even a running back primarily in college. He primarily played wide receiver in college, and now he's coming to the NFL and getting 128 yards on the Dallas Cowboys defense. It is absolutely wild, and while the Cowboys are falling apart, are the Detroit Lions putting it together? We'll start at the end of this game. We're all tied. I love that graphic so much. All Todd Gurley had to do was not score a touchdown. And he tried not to, but he fell into the end zone, thus giving the ball back to Matt Stafford and the Lions with just over a minute left to go. And we know what happened there, Jalen. What happened when Matt Stafford had the ball and needed a touchdown in the waning seconds? He throws it to Hockenson, brings the Lions to 500. Jalen, how does it feel to be a Lions fan this Monday?
I hated that for my rock brother, Todd Gurley. I was in Atlanta, Jacoby, on the grill, ribs, chicken, cheering for the Lions. Hockenson on my fantasy team caught the game-winning touchdown, and the Detroit Lions get a road victory. And trust me, it felt so very good as a Lions fan. It had me dreaming when I went to bed. Mm. And it had me thinking, imagine if the Detroit Lions were just in the NFC East. You know, all of these teams get loved by national media, and most media just troll them because they think it's for the ratings. We don't troll teams and players on this show. So look, the Lions, if you want to talk about some squads, put the Lions in the NFC East, and you know what we'll be? We'll be a playoff team. We'll be a playoff team. That's what I was dreaming last night.
Well, those are some of the worst teams in the NFC, but now we turn our attention to one that's established himself as one of the best, and that is Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went up against the Raiders, beat them handily. Tom Brady had a rushing touchdown, four passing touchdowns, and it wasn't all dig and dunk stuff. He's going deep now, Jalen Rose. However, while we celebrate Tom because he's the quarterback and he's the legend and he's the GOAT and he's going to the Hall of Fame, there is a player who impacted this game, dare I say, even more than Tom Brady, and he was on the other side of the ball for the Bucs. Who was that, Mr. Rose?
They had a heat-seeking missile out there with the last name of White, and I tell you something, nobody was safe. He was running as fast as he can, hitting people as hard as he could, and that's the kind of football that I grew up watching, and it was so very refreshing to see that he didn't get suspended. He didn't get ejected, and all of a sudden, we get a chance to appreciate Tampa Bay's defense led by Todd Bowles, who, by the way, deserves another opportunity to be a head coach. He deserves another opportunity to be the head coach. So as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing offensively, make sure you recognize defensively. They have some guys, Ndamukong Suh reinventing himself. Wingfield Jr. got his first interception. Todd Bowles deserves another opportunity as a head coach in the NFL.
Jalen, Tom Brady is the GOAT, and we saw another GOAT retire on the mat in the octagon this Saturday. We'll tell you who that is and what happened right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The Big Ten is back in a big way. Big game this Saturday at 7:30 on ABC. It is Ohio State and Penn State. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we mentioned the Big Ten is back, and there was a big game in the Big Ten on Saturday night where the Michigan Wolverines headed into Minnesota. And usually the Wolverines, they make it stressful when they win, especially in big games, but not this one. They kind of ran away with this one, had 35 points at halftime. Jalen, how encouraged are you by your Wolverines' performance?
I respect all of our Big Ten opponents. Shout out to the Gophers, the former basketball coach Clem Haskins, big bro Willie Burton, my bro Bashawn Leonard putting in work for the Gophers. But to be honest, as Michigan dog, Michigan State is considered little brother. Like Minnesota, they like distant cousin. Like we created a jug to play against them, to make them feel like that they could compete against big brother. It's like putting our hand in the air and making them jump to hit it. That's that. When we play against Minnesota, dog, that's all that is. That's all that is. Like we already know. Like we lose to them, then that's a true issue. That's a real issue.
Congratulations on the win. We look forward to them playing State this weekend. But Jalen, something else happened on Saturday that must be recognized, and that is the win of Khabib Nurmagomedov over Justin Gaethje in the octagon. And it was after the fight, after Khabib pretty much dominated Gaethje and choked him out with his legs. An emotional Khabib announced his retirement at 29-0. Jalen, what do you think of this announcement off the heels of him losing his father due to COVID complications?
It's tough. It's tough. It's emotional. It's painful. It's prideful. He's a man of integrity. His family lost his dad, who was really close to him and was a huge influence on him as a fighter. They made plans together, including this being the 30th fight, and it took place, and it was symbolic. And I think that gave him the focus to go out and perform the way he did. He may change his mind at a later date, but I salute him for going out giving us an amazing performance under tough circumstances.
We will be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive, and it's so important on a day like today when there's so much happening over the weekend in sports that we just can't fit it into the 22 minutes that we have for the television show. Jalen, Cam Newton and the Patriots took the field against the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I thought last week was a fluke when Denver made Cam look bad and the Patriots offense couldn't move. I thought that was a fluke. I said maybe it was a lack of practice, maybe still suffering from COVID-19 complications. Well, guess what? He looked worse against the 49ers. Bad interceptions, 3 interceptions. Not competitive. Jared Stidham comes in during the game. Cam will obviously still be the starter moving forward. I shouldn't say obviously, I guess, anymore. But when you watch Cam, and you know you and I are rooting for Cam, but no one roots harder for Cam than you do. What do you see from this quarterback who started the season so promisingly and has really fallen off ever since that COVID diagnosis?
So, like, the first game he played with the Patriots, and like everybody else, I was enthusiastic about Cam, and I predicted that he'll catapult himself back into being one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. But there was also a part in the back of my head, Jacoby, I can't front. On one of those touchdowns the first week,
against
it
kind of
looked like he had no brakes. It kind of looked like he was a little, like, lumbering a little bit as he was running. It wasn't as, like, smooth as it used to be. And then he had his big passing game. And then he had his couple of struggle games.
You remember the Seahawks game where he was on the one?
And they had a great chance to beat the Seahawks.
Yep. Looked good against the Raiders.
And that was a great opportunity to get a win.
And, looked good against the Raiders, who have been up and down all season.
In a team sport, Stephon Gilmore did win Defensive Player of the Year last season. Mm-hmm. That defense ain't playing like that this year.
Mm-mm.
Next, their skill position players, the same ones Brady had last year, only got older this year. And that ain't necessarily good when you Edelman. And it really ain't good when you Harry. It's somebody that they took so high in the draft. And it's unfortunate Sony Michel was not able to just become like a bell cow running back who's now dealing with an injury. And so the parts around him aren't good. So Cam would have to be Superman to lift his offense into the playoffs. But the last couple of weeks, Jacoby, Cam throwing lame ducks. Said it on the show. The release is really high, and it looked like throwing it straight to the ground. Looked like throwing it straight to the ground. Like I said, frisbees. Mm-hmm. He threw 15 total passes, and three of them were picked. 15 passes. Three of them were picked.
Wow.
Maybe there's some lingering effects from COVID-19. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not going to give him an excuse. But what I will say is he went to the Pats to reinvent himself and try to get paid, because I've said that this would be his only year with the team. If this doesn't improve, this will be his final year and or game starting.
Not just for the Patriots, but in the NFL. Well, correct. I think, obviously there's a lot of football left to play. But the 2 weeks since he missed a game because he tested positive for COVID, he has not looked like himself. Now, I don't know if those two things are related, but he needs to turn it around.
And I want to put something on wax before it happens.
Okay.
And this is where, when people talk about systemic racism and diversity, here's a perfect example. I'm going to use Cam Newton as one. If it doesn't work out with the Patriots, the only thing you're going to hear is the reasons why other teams still don't want to pick up Cam. So it's going to be like I just mentioned, just because he can't be the starter, that don't mean he can't be a backup.
Mm-mm.
But you're going to hear, he's been an MVP, his outfits that he wears, he probably won't fit in that role. So it ain't going to just be like, he's not starting for the Patriots. Either a lot of times when you're us is if you don't have an opportunity, you get zero. So he might go from being a starting quarterback to being out of the league.
Well,
it ain't
going
to be like, he could go to Denver and try to win the job and be a backup, or go to Jacksonville and, win the job.
If Joe Flacco is still out here throwing professional football passes and Ben DiNucci is the starting quarterback for America's team next weekend, there's a spot for Cam Newton. I don't care how he plays for the rest of the year. There's a spot for him somewhere, because when you start looking at second and third string quarterbacks, a lot of teams, there's a very dramatic drop off. So let's not get too far ahead of themselves. Let's just go 1 week at a time. They do play the Bills. That's not a great matchup for them. And then they get the Jets. But I've been a little bit baffled from what I've seen from Cam. And I chalked the Broncos game up, not necessarily to COVID complications, because I don't think they would put him on the football field if he was truly hindered with a deadly pandemic disease. But I think lack of practice is important for a new quarterback in a Josh McDaniels offense that changes week to week and is very complicated. So I still think that there is that week one, week two, week three Cam somewhere that will revive itself. I'm not going to jump to judgment because, I've jumped to judgment on players like Drew Brees and Tom Brady this year, and both Drew Brees and Tom Brady looked pretty good. Remember we were talking about Drew Brees being washed? He didn't look washed against the Panthers. Now, listen, do they go deep? Are they explosive offense? They look good.
Without Michael Thomas, without Emmanuel Sanders, but here's the difference. When you were saying that maybe Drew Brees looked washed, it was a couple of reasons, but the number one reason was age. He's 10 years older than Cam. That's way different scenarios, right? Those are vastly different scenarios. And a guy who's completed 7,000 passes, that is the most in the NFL, versus a guy who isn't accurate most of the time and relies on running all of the time to set up his passing game. And so Cam's going to have to get it together. I'm going to still be a cheerleader for him. I'm going to stand by everything that I said about his ability. But I know how this works. If it does not work with the Patriots, it's going to be tough for him to have another starting job.
Well, I think there's... does not work with the Patriots is a spectrum. You know what I mean? Because I can see them you know, it depends. It depends how he performs. If he performs like he did the first 3 weeks, and they just happen to lose some close games and miss the playoffs or lose in the first round, then there's a market for him. But I think that if he plays like he did the last 2 weeks and end up getting replaced by Stidham, then that really changes his prospects for next year. So the jury is still very much out on Cam's future next season. But I still think there is a chance for this Patriots team to win some more games this season. But every week, especially the last 3 weeks, they've looked worse and worse.
While we're talking about Cam, can I transition to the guy that he replaced, Tom Brady? And I think I want to say something to a microphone before he even joins the team. I'll really be watching these games, right? And Tom Brady's on my fantasy team, and I wanted to see him get put up big numbers. And I saw him throwing it to Gronk. I saw him throwing it to Godwin. And I saw Fournette eating. And I saw Jones eating. And you know what I saw late in the game? Mike Evans wasn't happy.
Nope.
And they force-fed him the ball a couple of times to keep him happy. You know what's about to take place over the next couple of weeks? They're going to add Antonio Brown. I don't think he's going to get even happier when that takes place, if he was unhappy yesterday. So I believe, as much as I like AB, as a football player, the decisions that he's made off the field, young people, it just shows you that talent warrants second and third and fourth and fifth opportunities. That's what AB is getting here. And relationships are key, and he has one with Tom Brady. And it also shows Bruce Arians that you thought you was running things until you got Tom Brady, because you said you would never have AB, except now y'all got AB.
Now all of a sudden AB's matured in Bruce Arians'
Here's what
minds.
I'm going to say. But you know what I'm going to say? Yesterday I was watching the game, and I was like, they can legitimately win the Super Bowl. And then I sat back and thought about my Mike Evans point. I believe adding AB will be the reason the Bucs do not win the Super Bowl. And it's going to be karma.
You have to explain yourself, sir.
It's just hard for me to see. It's hard for me. For as long as I've been around sports and I try to live my life as a responsible human being, all of us make dumb decisions. I'll probably get off this show and do what somebody consider a dumb decision in 5 minutes. It's just hard for me to believe that he can go from making the choices that he made over the last 4 or 5 years to me seeing him celebrating the Super Bowl this season.
I think that's fair.
Unless he's not playing.
Well, here's the thing. Can I go the other way with this, Jalen?
All right. Sure.
He's been, quote unquote, put, I think this is Arians as a quote. Don't quote me on whose quote this quote is. But I think he said he's being brought in as insurance. Like, truly as second team reps, like only so many snaps where he's on the field, that he's being brought in as a sort of backup quarterback for the Godwin and Evans position. Now, let's imagine that he's this understanding before. There's an understanding that before he's brought in, that he is a backup in case someone gets COVID or someone gets injured. And that's just what it is. And you see, that to me doesn't affect their Super Bowl chances. Now if AB and Tom Brady's previous relationship, and AB staying at Tom Brady's house like he was when he was in New England, and next thing you know, Tom Brady's starting to demand that he's on the field and he's looking his direction a little bit more. Now that I could see sort of causing the sort of rift that you're alluding to, but let's not jump to conclusions. Let's see how he is used and if he is used. But I do have some numbers for Evans this year. Week 1, 1 reception. Week 2, 7 receptions. Week 3, 2 receptions. Week 4, 7 receptions. Week 5, 5 receptions. This week, 2 receptions for 37 yards. Over 100 yards twice, both in those 7 reception games.
See, what ends up happening, in particular in national media, so you're going to see people either trying to troll the Cowboys or the Lakers or LeBron because they think that's what makes people watch. And usually people don't like really look deeper into the box score based on fantasy. A lot of times people judge the numbers but not necessarily watch the game. And so I was sitting back waiting to see how they were going to handle the Mike Evans thing. The whole game. I was like, I wonder how they're going to handle this. Because we all know he's one of the best receivers in the league. And you know what else we know?
Objectively, the numbers that show that.
Right. Like guys like him and Keenan Allen, they don't get discussed, but they're productive. Like, they bring it. And so I was like, I'm going to sit back and see how he responds. And he had a play where he and Brady had a misconnect, and he wasn't happy. Now, will he be happy winning the Super Bowl? Of course, I would be too. But you ain't never happy leaving the game with one catch. There has never been a person that left a football game, unless it was Peoples Jones yesterday, that was happy with one catch.
He has
and
two
that was his
games,
only one of the season.
He has two games with 2 yards receiving. They've only played 7 games, and he has 2 games with 2 yards receiving. He has 2 games over 100, but in both those games, he's caught a pass 48 yards or longer. So he's not getting targeted or used in a way that he was used before. And I imagine when Tom Brady signed up for the Bucs, he went to his best friend and he said, "Oh, this is going to be my year. I got the GOAT I got the GOAT to pass me the ball." He's never had a receiver like me since Randy Moss. This is going to be my year where I catapult myself into that Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins conversation, and it hasn't happened to this point. And again, it's kind of like the Browns conversation. How much of that, if you're Bruce Arians or you're Tom Brady, do you say, you know what, we do have to put a little water on this plant just to keep it happy and keep it alive, even if it's slightly the detriment to the game plan?
Well, that's why people come to the pod to get deeper into the box score. We're not just going to only talk about like 5 quarterbacks and 5 teams. And this is something that I'm watching. I'm watching the Evans productivity before adding AB. This is before adding AB. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I truly believe, Jacoby, I truly believe, if you were like right now, they got AB plus what you saw yesterday, would you bet on the Buccaneers to win a Super Bowl? I'd be like, they the best team. I love their defense. They flying around.
You know what I'll tell you, Jalen Rose?
But Jaylen, I just feel like, karmically, I feel like it ain't for AB to get a ring this year.
Jalen, I would. Let me tell you why. It is not because of Evans or Brown or Brady. It's Lavonte David and Devin White. Lavonte David and Devin White are just everywhere on defense. That linebacking core, like those middle linebackers,
beast,
are just everywhere on defense. You want me to cover a running back running a wheel route? Cool. You want me to rip move an offensive guard and go for the quarterback? Got that. You want me to stuff the run? Got that. You want me to chase after some jet sweep reverse thing? Got that. Those two linebackers are just so impressive when you watch the Bucs play, who are really establishing themselves as one of the best teams in the NFC. Jalen, we just talked for 23 minutes on the TV show, probably 10 minutes on the podcast, and we didn't even discuss a gentleman whose name comes up when you ask a simple question. Where are my homies?
Where are my homies? Where are my homies?
It was snowing. It was Denver. But the Chiefs are winning without the magic of Pat Mahomes. He's fine. He's not losing the game. He's not winning the game. He's got so many weapons. He spreads the ball around. But they used to win on his back. And now it's just a collective team effort. Le'Veon Bell, first run was great. 16 yards or something. He was fine. What did you think about Bell's debut in this otherwise pretty boring game?
It was great to see him a part of a contending team and reinventing himself. And don't underestimate, we talked about Brown, and now we're talking about Bell. They used to be best players at what they do. Now they're vets trying to play roles on contending teams, and the Steelers are undefeated. So it just shows you how the league comes at you really fast. Here's what the Chiefs are doing that is genius. When you pay somebody as much as they paid Patrick Mahomes, you got to protect them. It's almost like the best furniture in your house or the best art in your house, those are the rooms that people don't sit in. You're protecting them. Now when it's a holiday, bring out the best dishes. Bring out the best silverware. You know, we're going to celebrate. We're going to eat good, right? Bring out the great china. Like, my mother used to bring, I'm like, why I got to eat from paper plate all the time? And all of a sudden, we have one or two people. I'm like, we got forks? I'm like, what are you, like, I thought we only had, like, three forks, you know? Like, and so that's what it reminds me of watching them play, is that they're going to protect him. Last game, it was raining. Yesterday, it was snowing. So you're not about to allow the defense to tee off on him. Mm-mm. He ain't about to be Derek Carr trying to get to the sideline and White throwing a missile at him. Or he ain't about to be Dalton for the Dallas Cowboys trying to scramble and getting concussed. We ain't having that. We're going to protect our guy. And we ain't going to do him like they did Deshaun Watson and trade away his number one receiver. We're going to add weapons to his arsenal to make it easier for him. And that's what they're doing.
Bieniemy and Reed have a bunch of crazy plays that they just haven't found a worthy opponent to use on. Like on that big menu that Reed has behind that visor, he's got some double reverses, you know, innovative stuff that we haven't seen yet. They just haven't been put in a position where they need those plays. They haven't been put in a position where they need Mahomes to be miraculous. They're just winning football games and moving forward. And Jalen, there's something else happening in the league that I've noticed that is impressive, but at the same time depressing. Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow are legit franchise cornerstone quarterbacks that I think between them have won two games as starting quarterbacks. Justin Herbert coming into this game was the best starting quarterback to never win a game in the history of the NFL. Like, easily. I mean, he's spinning the ball, hitting people short, hitting people long, running the ball, running the offense, managing the clock, both of them. Burrow, too. Burrow has not had a clean pocket his entire career with the Bengals. But still, it took a last-second touchdown from the Browns to take that victory away from him. They went back and forth in the fourth quarter, Burrow and Baker did. Burrow looks so good. Herbert looks so good. But they just aren't winning football games. But that also makes me want to talk about something that I know you don't want to talk about. If Tua
Tyrod Taylor suing the team in 3-2-1. Tyrod Taylor suing the NFL in 3-2-1. Tyrod Taylor on the bottom of the ticker suing the team and the NFL in 3-2-1. That's what you're going to see being reported soon.
You know what I saw about Tyrod Taylor? Went out to dinner with Dre and Michelle. Going out to dinner with Dre and Michelle. Always been a big Dre fan. Love her work. Jalen. If Tua is who we think Tua is, and you've got Burrow and Tua and Herbert, that's a great quarterback draft class based on what we've seen so far. In their rookie seasons, Herbert and Burrow look legit. And if Tua, I shouldn't have brought him up. How long is it going to take until we can talk about Tua?
Because it's the same thing.
How long is it going to take? We need to get to a point.
I just don't understand, dog. I don't understand. I don't understand. Keep telling me about great rookie quarterbacks and how their great franchises are going to be stacked for the next 10 years. Go ahead.
Good. Because when you have the Burrows and the Herberts and the Tuas, you don't have to tank to get to pick a quarterback. You know what I mean? You're just like, hey, let's shore up the line. What do we have? Where are we on defense? What phase of defense do we need to sort of allocate some assets to? But the thing about this whole Lions draft pick is we knew they weren't going to pick Tua as we got closer to the draft. Like, you knew this was going to happen. You knew they weren't going to pick Tua. I knew they weren't going to pick Tua. We both knew they should have picked Tua, and they didn't pick Tua. And now here you are months later. I mean, because of the pandemic, months and months later. Still baffled by the fact that Tua is not wearing a silver helmet with a terrible logo on the side.
When you root for a bad team your whole life, you have cousins in other cities that you kind of feel a little kinship to. So I felt a little kinship to the Browns you know, when they started to get good, and the Cavaliers when they finally won the championship, or the Aints before they won it when they was the Saints. And, you know, it's the Buccaneers, I remember them. You know, they're our cousin, dog. They've been 1-15. You know, Leroy Selman, and like I used to watch Doug Williams. Okay, like and then when they won the Super Bowl, I was like, yo. And then now, look back at the division I grew up watching. Tampa Bay, left the division, got Tom Brady contender. Bears, got an identity, defense toughness. Mm-hmm. No matter what decade it is, defense toughness. They're gonna have that. It don't matter if it's Buckus, it don't matter if it's Khalil Mack. They're gonna have defense, they're gonna have toughness. Green Bay Packers, great quarterback. Favre, Rodgers, Jordan, we're gonna draft one just in case. We're gonna have a quarterback. Lions, we don't do that. We don't do that. No. And the reason why I keep bringing it up is because this was finally our chance. Like, you can be dumb and get this one right, though. Like, that's my whole thing. It wasn't like, oh, I want to, you know, we missed on a guy in the third round. Like, this was our a legit chance to change the fortunes of our franchise and get something for Matthew Stafford. Who you think the Patriots would rather have? Cam Newton or Matt Stafford?
Matt Stafford 100 times.
Exactly. He was there for them. Why don't you get a? They got so many draft picks. Why don't we get a couple of them draft picks and send them Matt Stafford and let them pay him the money he deserves, his $25, $30 million, and allow him to quarterback that team and allow this to be a rebuilding team? We ain't making the playoffs. We ain't making playoffs.
It's your 3-3. You make the playoffs.
Okay.
You could make the playoffs.
Okay, in the NFC East? In the NFC
East? You're going to think about, do you know what's going to happen? Jalen, do you know what's going to happen? I see the future. You're going to not make the playoffs, but you're going to be close. And you're going to think back to that week one drop.
That's
Smith.
My whole life.
You're going to think back to that week one drop. That week one, like a ball right in the bread basket, right in the end zone, game one. Could have started off with a huge come from behind victory. That's going to be tough. Now, Jalen, I want to talk about Khabib Nurmagomedov for a second. Because I really truly think he is retired. And one of the things he said is, I promised my mom that this would be the last fight and I got to keep my word. And when you promise your mom, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to keep his word. He's 29-0 in mixed martial arts. And he choked out Gaethje with a triangle choke, very rare. He was just like a rear naked choke. And he actually had Gaethje in an armbar at the end of the first round, which I felt like if there was another 30 seconds in that round, it probably ended there. But he choked out Gaethje, and I remember thinking to myself, he's MMA's Floyd Mayweather. He always wins. It's never the most entertaining fight, but he's always wins. He's consistent, and he's going to retire undefeated. I do not believe that Nurmagomedov will ever come back. I also don't think there's a fight that could bring him back. I kind of wish Ferguson beat Gaethje so we could have that fight that we've always looked for. But he deserves everything that he's got coming to him, because finishing in that sport undefeated is even more difficult than finishing as an undefeated boxer. And he has done so. Longest win streak in UFC history at 13 wins. So big shout to Khabib Nurmagomedov. And I also loved that right when the fight was over, he looked at his corner and told his corner to stay back because he needed a moment to be in the middle of the ring. He got down to his knees and just let all of the emotions of his father's passing out. And it was a truly, truly great moment in sports. Just want to give him his flowers. Jalen, we only have time for one more voicemail today. We always say we give the people what they want, so make sure you call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We always want to hear from you. That's part of giving the people what they want. So call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this. Tommy?
What up, though? This is a long time listener. And hollering at y'all from the 713. Just want to say, celebrating my 30th this Sunday coming up. Now, I look 10 years younger. I feel 10 years younger. And I'm looking forward to it, but just wanted to.
Houston's own calling in from the 713. He's turning 30. And I think those big round numbers sometimes can be a little more impactful Birthdays don't really make me sad or make me very, you know, I'm very happy. There's something I can't control. Time passing is something, this is a variable that I have no control over. So it's not like my weight or my looks or my job. It's like I can pull levers and change those things, but can't change the time. So don't, you know, I don't get too bent out of shape with those things, but I do have one piece of advice for 30. 30 is a little bit like playtime's over. 30 is a little bit like playtime's over. You know, it's, I think when you graduate college, you're a young adult. Expectations aren't so high on you in terms of maturity and professionally and personally and romantically. But I think right around 30, you need to start looking at where you're tracking and trending in certain categories in terms of happiness, physical and mental health, professional career, romantic trajectory. You know what I mean? And I think right around 30, you got to take those aspects of your life a little more seriously because you are kind of turning the corner into true adulthood, not young adulthood. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
Well said, and it's the actual opportunity for you to apply all of the things that you learned during some of the signature birthdays that Jacoby just described. Like, there was a time where first time in kindergarten, you know, first time in middle school, or you made it to high school. Okay, you turned 16, got your first driver's license. You turned 18, you turned 21. You know, you turn 25 and you probably, you know, in the professional world or looking to be, or at 30, that's where you start to be accountable for your decisions. So like when you 24 and you make a dumb decision, like, well, you're just 24, mm-hmm. You know, but when you 30, it's like all your bills should be in your name. Like, unless you need to live with a family member to help, you know, support them, and everybody's scenario was different, that's your opportunity to spread your wings and create a branch of leadership for the family that you're looking to lead. So your parents, your significant others, your uncles, they've done their part, and they're running and continue to run their race. Now this is your chance to run your race. And Jalen and Jacoby got you. We're here to support you. Just make good decisions, work hard, and all your sacrifices will pay off. Have fun. Definitely have fun. Can I say one more thing, Jacoby?
Yeah.
You're just more in control of your body. You're more in control of your body. I'll say that too. You're more in control of your body.
More you really control are. Of your body. You know I'm not asking any follow-up questions about that. We'll be back tomorrow unless we let Jalen finish these thoughts. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.